So, hi there. Today I'm here with Danny Thompson. Danny is a software developer and also the organizer of Commit Your Code. Well, Danny, for those of you who don't know you personally, you have a quite original story on how you got into tech. Could you share that with us?
For those that don't know who I am, my name is Danny Thompson. I'm the director of technology at a company called This.Labs. I'm also the community organizer and conference organizer for Commit Your Code Conference and Dallas Software Developers Group. We're a very active community in the Dallas area. But we also do like a lot of pop-up events. And so to give you an idea, even in New York in 2 weeks, I'm doing a pop-up event on June 23rd in New York at called A Night of AI. And so we have like eight speakers that are coming for that one, so it should be a good one. As far as like origins, I mean the big one for me that a lot of people know me from is the origin around jumping into tech essentially. And you know, for me, this is kind of the biggest catalyst and reason why I even do the events that I do, because these events are basically what changed the entirety of my life, right? Like, I didn't learn how to code the traditional sense. I started learning on my own. I was frying chicken in a gas station and saw a spark of inspiration to kind of start learning. And once I did, the rest was history. I mean, I just kind of ran with it. And the thing that grabbed me the most wasn't necessarily syntax. I'm not married to syntax. I'm not married to a specific, you know, programming language. I'm more so interested in how I solve bigger problems with things. And you know, it's funny because even right now with AI, a lot of people are nervous about AI. You hear all this rhetoric. Some people are sleeping on AI. Some people are completely on the deep end of AI. I definitely find myself to be more in the middle, where I definitely know without a shadow of a doubt AI is changing the way that we're going to be operating and doing things, and the industry as a whole, as
Absolutely.
we know it, is going to completely change within like the next probably a year or two. It's a very different timeline, but the premise is still the same. How are we making impact on the bottom line of a business, and how are we kind of growing that business or scaling or solving problems? And that's the thing that really grabbed me the most in regards to software development. And to this day,
Got it.
that's the thing that's got me.
Yeah, very interesting. So like looks like community and like those kind of events played a big role in your personal story and still do, right? So how important is actually community and networking for people trying to get into tech or people already having a career in tech?
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the most important things, if we're being honest. You know, it's funny. In previous years in tech, if we're being honest, generally speaking, most of the people that got jobs, like if you could cough and it sounded like the word JavaScript, you found yourself in an interview somewhere.
That's
Now,
exactly what Taylor said here like 2 days ago. Then yeah.
Where is this being live streamed, by the way? I see one live stream on your Twitter,
Yeah,
but it says the broadcast ended.
it's on Twitter.
I don't think it's up.
It's not?
Yeah,
Well,
it
it
shows
says like.
one that was 3 minutes ago, and I see the broadcast has ended.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Wait. We just upload the recording afterwards,
Yeah.
so
Okay, cool. That's kind of been my premise for several years now. Even during the pandemic, I told people this is a very unprecedented time in regards to the hiring, mainly because people are over hiring with the idea and hope that this wave continues. It will not be the case. I got hate for that. And then I told people right now, we have a lot of organizations that are making this move to remote. This will not be the standard going forward because it doesn't make sense in the long term for these companies. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense as a whole. I think remote work totally makes sense. I've been remote even before it was cool, right? So I was remote before the pandemic. I'm remote now. There are definitely pros to being remote. There are definitely pros to being in office. There's pros to the hybrid strategy. There's negatives to all three as well. Don't get me wrong. But with that being said, I will say I still see this transition going on where most companies that are remote, that are doing this hybrid thing. Some are doing it hybrid because they're like, oh, this is competitive. We find a great momentum here, et cetera, et cetera. Some are doing it as a stepping stone to go back to 5 days all full time, which we're already seeing those companies starting to make transitions. JP Morgan is a prime example of this. There's plenty of other companies out there that are doing very similar trends right now. But like JP Morgan, I believe, is like one of the most outspoken ones as of right now to bringing people back 5 days a week. That's just going to end up happening with a lot of these companies, unfortunately. There will be some that stick to hybrid, though. I think at the Fortune 500 level, you're going to find fewer organizations doing it permanently instead of the stepping stone pattern that we're seeing right now. But in regards to AI, I have a feeling that you're going to find all companies utilizing it in one way, shape, or form. And what's funny is a lot of developers are being hesitant in its adoption because they feel like they're a craftsperson in making their code. I've heard this term several times right now, this verbiage. I'm a craftsman, so I like making my code. There are craftsmen that are woodworkers, right?
Yeah,
and they're
absolutely
in a niche industry. They make great, beautiful pieces of furniture and equipment, but that doesn't take away from the mass majority of how this wood is being manufactured and utilized.
Yeah, I think I had a similar discussion also like a couple of days ago where like, I think a lot of people in tech are just coming from their passion for programming. And so they are kind of married to their code, right? They don't realize like in a business way or when they have a job, it's just a means to an end. And I think that's particularly in tech. It's a problem for people who care more about the beauty of the code than actually the business outcome of it.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, don't get me wrong, I do get it. Like, I love all the things that I can build. It's always been like a very addicting part of this process for me.
Yeah.
But with that being said, it's almost foolish, almost on the edge of being oblivious to what really drives value at the end of the day. What's the reason why we make money the way that we do? It's not just because we can write lines of code, but it's because what those lines of code did, how it performed in an organization, what power it gave to the organization as a whole. That's kind of the thing that I think we're losing sight of what we can do. And I made a tweet the other day that got some flack, right? But it got flack not because it was untrue, but because of how true it was. Bad code has never been a reason why a company can't monetize, right? You see all these legacy. I've walked into legacy code bases that were literally an absolute nightmare, right?
Yeah.
It looks like it's put together with duct tape and WD-40 and hopes and dreams, right? Like, it's just a mess. But if it's legacy, it means it's been there for a while. If it's legacy, it means they've been using it for quite some time and it's generating revenue and income. And it's in this weird part of tech that where, like, if you touch it, it breaks. If you don't touch it and just leave it there, we can keep the company going and we only have to address it when we have to address it.
Yeah, I mean,
and so it's something to remind ourselves.
Being like in a fast-paced environment, it's probably difficult to make changes or add features. But if you don't touch it, if that brings you revenue, then
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was working in a company, we were using Java 11 and Java 21 came out. And I'm like, well, why don't we upgrade? They're like, whoa, let's calm down now. That's too fast. I was like, too fast? 10 versions have come out. So it doesn't have to always be the latest and greatest and most performant. But what it does have to be is performant in the aspects of driving business value. And so if we remind ourselves of that, that's how we're going to maintain and keep our higher levels of income. If we start losing sight of that and getting bogged down in the weird parts, I think you're going to start seeing the inherent value of a software developer dropping dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to quickly come back to like the community aspect of it and the networking stuff. Commit your code, if I understand that correctly, is like your second version of that. The last one was last year, right?
Yeah, second year.
So you started it after the pandemic. Do you notice like a change in how people use like in-person events before and after the pandemic? What changed in the last years?
Well, I'll tell you this. My belief of what an in-person event is very different than the vast majority. Like if you go to like an in-person meetup, it's always different. If you go to, online meetups, even my belief of an online meetup is very different. I think that's why even like some groups have struggled to come back from the pandemic or you know, from not doing meetups, trying to do meetups again. And they're trying to do it the exact same way that they did in like 2018. And it's just not a good use of an event as far as I'm concerned. And so with Commit Your Code, we did it last year. I was just obsessed with this idea so much so that I couldn't shake it, right? I just could not shake it for the life of me. And I remember finally I woke up one Saturday morning. It was like right around 5 a.m. And I recorded a video and I put it out to basically make myself accountable. And I said, I'm doing a tech conference. I don't know who's going to speak. I don't know where it's going to be. I don't even know who's going to sponsor this thing. But my idea is to do this tech conference. At this time, it was almost September. And I was like, we're going to do this in November. And I was like, we're going to do a tech conference for charity. My comments and DMs like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? Why are you trying to do this? This doesn't make sense. Like, that's no time at all. I'm like, I know. I can't shake this idea. I'm the type of person that when I get an idea, generally, I try to sit with it for a little bit just to see, like, am I going to brush it away? Because once I commit, I go over the deep end, right? And so I'm like, I don't want to commit to something that I'm not going to go over the deep end with. And I just couldn't shake it. And the idea was, it wasn't a thing to make money. That wasn't really attractive to me. I've been offered many times by organizations even to do tech conferences. That's never attracted me. The idea was, how can we make a tech conference accessible to all while raising money for charity and then donating it all? So we don't monetize it in any way, shape, or form. We don't take a penny from it. But the idea is, what can we do on our end to just raise money for charity and bring the community together and get people excited? That got me excited. And then the other thing was, I was like, this is a one and done thing. Like, if you look at the keynote of the Commit Your Code, it's online. I think as of this point, over 7,000, 8,000 people have viewed the conference, which is fantastic virtually. But the keynote, I literally said, we will never do this again. This is a one and done situation. We'll never repeat.
And you proved yourself wrong.
Well, the thing was, it was the outpouring of requests for us to do it again. Like, there's a picture that I have where I was pulled to the side and into a circle with 13 people, I think it is, telling me, you need to do this again. And, like, you don't understand what you've done here. This is not like any conference that we've been to before, not any conference that we've seen before. This is different. Amazing. You have to do this again. And I was like, I think I'm good. I don't really want to. It's a lot. Logistically, it was a lot. It was a lot to undertake. And I'm sure, like, you know, the timeline that we gave ourselves didn't help. But it was a lot. And then I was approached by Chris DeMars. He was one of the speakers. On Twitter, he's also known as Salt and Burn. And he said, Danny, you don't realize that there's something very magical and special about what's happening here. This is very different than your normal tech conference. And I was like, this is interesting, because he's been around for over a decade going to these conferences and events, and he's a notable speaker. He's keynoted internationally. For him to say that is something very important, and that started weighing on me. But in his talk to his room, he basically told them, if y'all feel like something magical is happening here, you have to tell Danny to do this again. So now everyone in his room that came to see his talk are coming to me, Danny, you have to do this again. Danny, you have to do this. I'm like, wow, this is a lot.
But so one, you were peer pressured into the second edition.
Definitely peer pressured. Definitely pre-print. But one thing sent it over the edge, and this happened the last hour of the conference, the very last hour. At this point, I'd pretty much lost my voice. I'm exhausted, physically, mentally, emotionally exhausted, just tired. And I'm speaking with one of the people that was a speaker. Now, I accepted his talk, and I didn't know this. Now, we didn't have a budget. We did this whole conference with $11,000. It is not a lot of money.
That's nothing.
We really, really stretched it out. And so all of the speakers had to pay for their own travel and hotel to be there, which is like an incredible feat on its own, right? Like, that's a big, absolutely, big deal. And I don't hold that lightly, because if you're spending your hard-earned dollars on something, like, that's a big deal. And this one speaker I'm talking to, I didn't really know him. So I was like, let me get to know him. Let me figure out who he is. And his name was Nii Odi, N-I-I-O-D-I. And as I'm talking to him, I realize he has paid for his way and flown in from Ghana.
Wow, that's
He came
far.
All the way from Ghana. And it took him 2 days of travel to get there, and which is a lot, right? And I said, Nii, I think out of everyone here, you have the highest authority to then say, hey, would I come here again or not? Or was it worth it? And so to you, was this worth it? He said, Danny, if you do this again, I will fly myself again on my own dime to be here.
Wow.
It was 100% worth it. Wow. And I said,
that's probably the best compliment you get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I went to all the volunteers that I had near me, and everyone's exhausted, like crazy, crazy exhausted. And I look at them, I said, do y'all want to do this again? And they're like, Danny, like everyone's left, like, you can't ask us now. Like, talk to us later. This is crazy. Like, we've got, like, we're down to the last drops of energy. And I was like, I totally get that. The reason why I'm telling you this is in 10 minutes, I'm doing the closing keynote. And in 12 minutes, I'm announcing that we're doing this again. And so you don't have to do this, but I'm letting you know I'm going to do this. And everyone's like, you're the one that said you don't want to do this again. I was like, I know, I'm telling you right now, but I don't have the time to explain it. I'm just letting you know we're going to be doing this again. And so I announced it on stage in the closing keynote, and the screams were so loud, we set off the alarm system. And I freaked out because I'm like, oh, wow, like we're going to go ahead and like go to jail now. It's going to be this whole thing. But everyone was so happy that we agreed to do it again that they literally were screaming out of happiness. And I was like, what testament could you have?
How many people did you have there?
We had almost 400 in person. We had 5,500 attend online.
Wow.
And so for the first year, like that's pretty, pretty impressive, especially giving only 2 months notice. It really wasn't a ton of notice. And the idea was that for the first year, tickets were $30 and your meals were covered for both days. This year it's $49, so just $19 more. But it helps us kind of raise money easier for charity. But with that being said, we've already given out a handful of like free tickets. And as of this very moment, we've already sold more tickets than we had for attendees last year. So that's always a good situation. But the bigger thing is, my goal is anyone that wants to have access to this resource should have access to this resource. So we stream it online completely for free with an option to donate to charity if you want to. And all that money is just on the last day of the conference, we donate it all, right? So we split up all the money and we donate it. So this year we're giving it to three charities. But for in-person, it's $49, meals covered for 2 days. You get into four extra events outside of the conference as well. So like after parties and things like that, like great ways to network and meet people.
So you get actually a ticket to a conference that is so good that people pressured you in doing it a second time for $49, 2 days of meals covered. And after all, everything is donated.
Yep.
Sounds like a good deal.
That's the whole point. Like, it's so good that it's hard to pass up on, number one. But number two, the other thing is, no one should ever feel like it's a charity conference. They should feel like this is a great conference. Oh, and a byproduct is everything goes to charity. So that's the whole, like, in my planning, in my, like, if you see, like, the spreadsheets and the mind maps that I've built around this, my whole focus is how can they feel like this is a $750 conference, but only spending $49? That's my entire focus the entire
time. That's an impressive benchmark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which charities is it going to?
Yeah. It's going to three charities. One is St. Jude Children's Hospital. For those that aren't familiar, St. Jude, phenomenal organization. They will treat any child in regards to like cancer research, sickness, et cetera, and their families will never face a bill. And so they take care of it all themselves. So that's a great charity right there. And the way that they do things is phenomenal. Like, I think it's $112 pays for all the blood tests a child will have for their cancer treatments and things like that, right? So it's like the money is really going to good use. The second one is Operation Kindness. And essentially what they do is they help bring up and protect animals from kill shelters. So like stray animals and things like that, that would go to a kill shelter and be killed after several days. They kind of bring them in, find them foster families and things like that, so that way the animals, cats, dogs, etc. are never killed. And then the third one is free code camp to make sure that everyone can still code for free and learn how to code without breaking the bank and things like that. So it feels like each one serves its purpose well for the event. But also, one of our community members, his daughter has leukemia and she's getting treated at St. Jude's, and they never faced the bill. So it's like, how else can we give back in a meaningful way besides that?
Oh, wow. That's really impressive. Yeah, very cool. Like, for the logistics, when is that conference? When is Commit Your Code?
Yeah, the conference is September 25th and 26th. It's a Thursday, Friday. generally, most people are coming in on Wednesdays, obviously, like at least the day before. So Wednesday we'll have our first like kickoff party kind of situation that we've got locked in. And then Thursday we'll have the conference. We have 112 speakers, I believe, as of right now, locked in for the conference. So tons of value, tons of great talks. We're working on the details of like what the workshop situation is going to look like.
Okay.
We've had more than a lot of requests to do workshops. So we're trying to figure out like what makes sense the best way possible. Do we do workshops? Do we just do talks? I've been kind of pushed in one direction by several people to just do talks this year, but I really want to try and work in workshops. So we'll see how that works out. So I don't want to commit to that, but we will see. Then after that, we'll have not one, but two parties after the first night. Two different events going on, so that way people can kind of have a great way to meet people. And then, of course, the last day, which is Friday, we'll have our last day of the conference. But, of course, there will be one more event after the conference as, like, the Bon Voyage party where everybody can kind of meet each other one last time and all that good stuff.
So 2 days of conference, three parties, all that for 49.
So the first – after day one of the conference is not one but two parties. There's an after party and the after party.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
No one should go home with energy.
So you still have tickets or are you sold out already? Because that sounds
we still have
so much like a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, because as of right now, tickets have only been on sale for 2 weeks. So, So, which is great because in 2 weeks, we sold more tickets than we had for attendees last year, right? So that's like a good situation to be in. But
absolutely.
We still have tickets now. I believe we're capping the venue off at 850 people. So we're about halfway there right now.
Wow, that sounds awesome. So yeah, I think if some of you would like to join the conference, what's the best way to get in touch with you or to buy the ticket?
Yeah, commityourcode.com. Everything is there. Everything is public. Everyone can see everything. You can even see the financial report for 2024. So you can see exactly where every penny, not dollar, but every penny went. So that way you know that your money is going in the way that it's supposed to be. I try to keep it very, very transparent and upfront. I even have a blog article I did on Dev2, which shows all the screenshots for all the payments as well. So that way you know exactly where the money goes. We're very big on transparency because I think that's probably the largest part of the trust in this, right? So everyone should know and feel comfortable with where the money is going.
Probably you won't find a conference with more community built in the DNA than this one.
That's the hope, but I'll never say that just because I don't want any other conference feeling like it's competition. It's just the missions are different. And so because absolutely. Of that, it's just such a different way to do this. But I'll never bag on another conference. I think if you're making money online, that's the dream, right? So you should keep doing that. But at the same time, too, I think if you're doing a big conference and you're missing some things like the customer experience or the person that's coming, at least for me, the thing that's in my mind is when people go to a conference and they fly out for a conference to attend one, you're spending money on flights, you're spending money on hotel, you're spending money on food. So it's like all these things combined become a very expensive experience for the average human being. So if you're not thinking about that when you're planning it and you're just like going through the motions, I take that as a very, very heavy undertaking. I'm taking away time from your family. So it's my responsibility to truly make sure that it's worth every single minute of that day. And so that's my ultimate hope with this.
Okay. One last thing is that came to my mind is if you're not like an extroverted person, maybe feel a bit shy. Would it still be valuable to go to a conference? And how do such people make the most out of it?
Yeah, this is actually something very specific that I think about with this particular conference. And so I've tried to orchestrate and create Commit Your Code in a way that even the most non-networking individual in the world can walk away with a network if they want one, right? It's everything that you do is completely up to you, right? Like, but I'm making it as easy as humanly possible to make those connections. So to give you an idea, one thing that we're doing in the mornings before the keynote is something called Morning Connect, meaning if you want to opt into it, in the mornings, you will be randomly assigned somebody to have a 10-minute coffee chat with. And the whole idea is there is like you're having coffee and you're just having a 10-minute conversation with somebody. There's no strings attached, no nothing. It's just a great way to kind of start the day off talking to somebody. And we'll even give you a prompt, like, here's your prompt for your conversation today, to make it that much easier to get into those conversations. Yeah. The other thing that we're doing is, with every single ticket, you're going to be given a prompt. When you register and get into the event, you'll be given a prompt card. And essentially the idea with this is the card that you walk up to people with saying, this is my prompt. I have to ask you this question. They will then answer that question. And then vice versa, they will ask you a question. You will answer that question. It's like the easiest. So if you don't know how to network, you don't need to.
I'll be the bad guy. Manual. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. So that's awesome. Yeah. Then thank you, Danny, for explaining all of that to us.
I'm excited for it.
I can't wait to see you in person again in September in Dallas.
Hey, I can't wait for you to come. We're gonna get you some good food while you're here, man.
I expect that. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah.